Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our series about restoring and renovating your home. So when you are driving around the DMV, you may notice dark panels on the roofs of private homes. So those are solar energy panels. But what is that really all about? How does it work, and could it work for your home and your community? Well, joining me to talk about this are Kimberly Armstrong, Maryland Program Director at Solar United Neighbors, and Damali Harding, Managing Partner with Amendment 9 Consulting, an energy consulting company. You want to hear about solar power, how it may benefit you? Give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Damali, good to have you back on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And Kimberly, thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you.
Sure. Let me start with you, Kimberly, because we need a little solar energy panel 101. Solar energy has been around for, it's been around for quite some time, but it's still really unfamiliar to a lot of people. How does it work for private homes?
Well, at Solar United Neighbors, we are a nonprofit, and what we do is we try to help people to go solar in a group. And the way that it works is that once we have about 20 or 30 people within the co-op, then we do an RFP for a selected installer. We don't select installers. They do. The members of the co-op does. And it's really about clean energy, using solar panels for clean energy. It's also grid-tied, and it helps to reduce your electricity bill.
So you're going to have to slow down and back up just a bit for me, because you just said something that I don't understand. Grid-tied, what does that mean?
So grid-tied means that it's still tied to the grid. Some people
the
think
grid?
That— Yes.
Hey, you got to break it down to me, Kimberly, because you see, I still have a wood burning fireplace in my living room. So you're going to have to break it all the way down for me. Help me with this. What does that mean?
Okay, so that means that you are still tied to the grid, right? So that means that if you have a power outage, that your solar will not be working because it's still tied to the grid.
The grid.
However, yes.
You mean like Pepco or BGE or something like that? Is that what you mean?
Exactly.
Okay, go right ahead.
You don't have to. Well, most people are grid tied because the only backup choice that you may have is battery storage. So, say for instance, if you have like what we call a critical load need, if you have an energy outage and you can get battery storage. However, battery storage is a little bit, can be expensive. However, the cost of it is coming down because they are making them a little bit more efficient. The same way, you know, you talked about how you really didn't know anything about solar, and most people couldn't afford it back in the day because it was so expensive. Now, because of technology, the solar panels are becoming not just more efficient, but they're also becoming smaller, which also is making it more affordable. So that's why you see a lot of people going solar now, because it's cost effective.
So let me start back to some real basics, because you spoke about co-op. But before we get 20 people, can we just get one? And let us talk about how that works for one house. I mean, because it sounds to me that it's a rather complex thing. And complexities, particularly when it comes to restoration or improving your home, is not necessarily something that a lot of people would be interested in unless you can really explain to me why that is better than just calling Pepco when I move into my new house, or calling BGE, or calling Dominion. So how would I get started for something like that?
So what most people do, I'll tell you, I have solar. I live in Baltimore City, which is BGE territory.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been interested in getting solar. So I called the installer. The installer came out. They did an assessment and looked at my energy bill. So it's really the size of your system is based off your energy consumption as well. So it's a lot of different factors that play into going solar. Your roof size, looking if you get enough sun. So if you live in an area, say like some parts of Tacoma Park have a lot of shade, they have a lot of trees. You don't want people cutting down trees to go solar, so that may not be a best option for you. You want your rooftop to be in a place where you get a lot of direct sun, which produces the energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let us say that I don't have tree cover at my home, because I actually live in Baltimore as well. I've actually looked into solar energy. I have a slate roof, and they told me no.
And that is a challenge, because slate roofs are, first of all, expensive to do, because there's a special mounting system. So it's different from a flat roof or a rubber roof, as well as asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have some companies that will do it. It's just a little bit more expensive because of the slate.
I see. So let us assume that my roof is the kind of roof that would allow solar energy panels. What would be the next step, and why? But besides the fact that it's clean energy and a lot of people are moving to that, why would I want to do that? Is it cheaper?
Yes, it is.
Explain that to me, please.
So it's cheaper because you get first you get locked into a rate. Okay, so if you energy is always going up. So it locks you into a rate, number one. Number two, it's cheaper because it reduces your energy. So as I stated, I have solar. So my energy cost has gone down at least about 20%. So it's cost effective. And I always like to, tell people that energy is something that you have to use. It's not like you can live without it. And there are a couple things that happen every 30 days. I get a bill from BG&E and they want me to pay it. And if I can have the choice to pay them less money, so whether it's 5%, 10%, 20%, or 30% less, then I think it's just a viable or economical choice for me. Mm. So, some people may do it because, they want to be green and they're renewable. I did it for both reasons, not just being clean energy, but also reducing my energy bill.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about solar energy for your home and community. Would it work for your home? Is it something that your community can benefit from? Damali, your thoughts about solar energy for communities of color, and why would they want to go down that path?
So, as Kimberly said, one is definitely the reduction in cost. So you have, you can reduce your energy use pretty significantly. And then if you combine that solar panel with an energy efficiency, process, so you start using less, you start making sure you're still doing the same things of turning down your thermostats, making sure your refrigerator coils are vacuumed, you can see significant reductions in the cost of your energy. And as we know, when that energy cost is a percentage of your overall income actually goes up for the less income you make. So energy in the U.S. is relatively inexpensive unless you're poor. And that's the paradigm that we're trying to solve here. The other thing is, this idea of co-op. So I love when Kimberly was talking about co-op, because for Black communities specifically, we have always thrived when we've pooled our resources and, people call it a susu or a meeting group or, cooperative, and when we've pooled into the local businesses. And so this idea of creating a shared resource that multiple families own, it might be expensive for one family to do solar, but when you now have 30 and you're sharing that cost across 30 families, that reduces it significantly. And then the last is just simply the idea of when we think about the environment and environmental equity, you know, solar is clean. And in especially in our communities where we have traditionally lived, you know, we are still dealing with the effects of, you know, gas plants that have, you know, released toxic chemicals. We're still dealing with the effects of lead, which in certain cities, you know, we still have major, major impacts. And so this idea of pushing towards a solar future really allows us to take advantage of this clean space for health reasons.
I have a lot of questions for both of you this evening, and so do our listeners. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about solar energy for your home and your community. Can it work for you? Let's go to Kevin calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Kevin. What's on your mind?
Hey, great evening to everyone. I was just wanting to bounce in on the efficiency of the solar panels. I have last April, I think it was, they turned my system on. I have 25, I'm trying to think, it's a large system on my house, but I went to go pay BG&E and the bill was so low I couldn't pay it. And what I'm trying to say is the solar is working now, and it's working for those that are looking for a new budget, a new way of getting around certain bills, because it actually, if you lease it or buy it, that's another story, and I'm pretty sure they will converse that with everyone. But you have a payment that's going to be about 35% to 40% less than your regular bill. My bill was running anywhere on a budget plan around $400.
Woo!
Wow.
Okay.
Where in Bowie do you live, Kevin? is that Woodmore?
But you know, the thing of it is, we have so many more electronics in our home.
Right.
And I have probably 3 offices that work out of my house because of the pandemic and everything else. So, you know, everything is running a lot more, and you're burning more energy. But the good thing to know is that if someone has a solar system, they should be able to share the ways, the pros and the cons.
Yeah.
You can't burn all your stuff in the daytime. You want to charge your system so that you can wash your clothes during the day, you can do all that, and at night you're not doing nothing but just allowing the energy to go back to BG&E.
Correct.
Okay, so Kevin, thank you for that. I appreciate your phone call. What does that mean, Kimberly?
So what Kevin is talking about is that any excess energy that you overproducing is called net metering. So that's when your excess energy goes back to the grid. So when it goes back to the grid, it's distributed throughout your community, wherever the excess power is going to go. And then net metering is when your meter spins backwards and it goes back out to the grid. You can get what we call solar renewable energy credits.
Okay, go ahead.
And solar renewable energy credits, sometimes you don't get a bill. You can take those credits and they are transferable, or you can save up those credits and you can sell them on what we call a index. So it's kind of like, it could be like stocks.
Okay, that's a lot to really consume right now. And it's really important that you kind of break it down, because this, you know, even though solar energy has been around for a while, I'm a relatively intelligent person, but that's a lot for me to consume. Credits back to the grid.
Yes.
Let's talk about, even before we get there, and I really appreciate Kevin's phone call, but there, you still have to get the panels on your house. Who pays for that? How much does something like that cost?
So for instance, when you call an installer and they look at your energy bill and they assess how much consumption and energy that you are using over 12-month period, and that can determine what size system that you will need. Now, each household is different depending on your energy consumption.
Mm-hmm.
It also depends on the size of your roof. Kevin must have a huge roof.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, so he has a 25 kilowatt system, then he is producing when he was talking about more energy during the day, it's because you get more sunlight all of your sunlight is during the day. So he has a huge he has a huge system. I have a 4 kilowatt system, right? So which is smaller. But it's also determined because I don't have a lot of roof space either. So
Kimberly, I need you to hold your point because I want to drill down on that. And I want to bring Damali back into this conversation. Also, I think it's Emil calling from Hyattsville. We're going to talk to you. Also, we're going to talk to Stan calling from Beltsville as well. So please do not hang up. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Please don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Inside segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone. And you can hear this program live in its entirety. Stay with us. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. But we continue this conversation on SiriusXM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. Download the app to your smartphone. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our series about restoring and renovating your home. And tonight we're talking about solar energy. Can it work for your home? Can it work for your community? My guests are Kimberly Armstrong, Maryland Program Director at Solar United Neighbors, and Damali Harding, Managing Partner with Amendment 9 Consulting and Energy Consulting Company. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, let me go back to you, Kimberly, because I need to understand. You said you have a 4 or 5 kilowatt system on your house. I don't know what that means. So what does that mean?
So kilowatt is your system size.
Right.
So think of it like a light bulb. When you go to the store and you get a light bulb, and then they have like 60 watts, right? So that's your system, is the light bulb. Once you put the light bulb into the lamp and turn it on, that produces kilowatt hours. And that's how you're being billed and being charged by the amount of energy that you use. So think of, you have a mini electricity plant on your roof. Think of it in that term.
Okay.
And the amount of sun, of course you get more sun during the summertime than you do during the winter, so you produce a lot more energy during the summer.
Hmm. Okay. So who pays for the actual panels, and how much would a 5 kilowatt solar panel system cost? Say if you have, obviously you use less energy than Kevin does. So how much would that cost? And how, convince me that that's cost effective.
So they are the customer. So if you wanted solar, I've gotten solar, so I had to pay for it.
Of course.
However, yeah, so there are different ways that you can pay for it. You can finance it straight out, so you can pay for the system yourself, or you can do a home equity line of credit, or you can lease it. When you lease it, or what they call a power purchasing agreement, short term, we call it a PPA, is still a lease and you don't own the system. However, you still get the benefit of reducing your energy costs and your energy bill.
So let me see if I can break this down before we go back to the phone lines and to Damali. So, because I'm going to have to get into your business. How big is your house?
I have, it's about 1,300 square feet.
Okay.
And I have 16 panels.
You have 16 panels. How much did you pay?
So I paid about it was like $18,000, and then once they reduced out and got all the credits, it was about $14,000. And for me, it was a good benefit, and for me, budget wise, like Kevin was stating, is that he's getting a zero energy bill compared to a $400 energy bill. My energy bill was around $200-$300, and now it's like maybe $150.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Damali. Just on the face of it, even at $14,000, that may not be cost effective for everyone.
It won't be, and so there's certain questions you should ask, a solar installer. And so, as Kimberly said, you really have the option to either lease your solar system or to buy it. And questions you should ask are, one, about what's the expected payback period, and you should ask that, and you can actually also figure that out based on your energy use, right? So in the area, regardless of if you live in D.C., Maryland, or Virginia, we all have what we call an automated meter reader, which means that you can go back now several years and figure out exactly how much energy you're using. And so if you are talking to a solar developer, you can say, if it's that 5-kilowatt system, you can say, okay, here's my expected energy use. It may not be cost effective because I'm already using such little energy that the payback period would be 20 years. But generally speaking, when we're talking about solar systems, for the average homeowner, that payback period is 5 to 7 years. And so that, if you're going to be in your house for 10 years, you're going to more than make up, the amount of money that's going to you're going to pay out into that system. But if you're planning, on moving, if you are other questions you want to ask, or does the system stay with the house when it sells? Typically, the answer is yes. But you also want to ask questions from your solar installer about maintenance. Who's going to pay the maintenance if you own it versus installation? Asking questions about, can you get a battery backup system? Those are expensive, but that. We were thinking about the last time I was here, we were talking about Texas, which ironically is happening again. Mm-hmm. But those are questions that you want to ask in thinking about, a resiliency and system. And when you're thinking about upgrading your home, especially as we're spending more time at home, you want to make sure that you're covered, because it may wind up being cheaper to do a battery solar system compared to, getting a diesel generator that you're only going to run a couple of times a year.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about solar power for your home. Will it work for you? Will it work for your community? Emil, calling from Hyattsville. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. So thanks for this show. It's
sure.
Really useful information. A quick plug. I work for the District Department of Energy and Environment, and want to shout out your guests for doing a really great job of explaining a very complicated topic. I've worked on solar since 2005, roughly, and it's not an easy thing. You're basically putting a power plant on your roof. So that much is, I think that point was made. You do not necessarily have to put a system on your roof, and that is where particularly in D.C., also in Maryland, there's an option called community solar, where you can actually buy into or receive a subscription from a solar system that is somewhere else. That's not in your house. You don't have to worry about any of that. Especially for your D.C. listeners, D.C. has the best solar incentives in the entire nation. So if you do this, get a very quick payback, 4 or 5 years, roughly, sometimes even sooner than that. So if you can't, we have a program called Solar for All. You can go to the DOE website, /Solar for All. If you're income eligible, you can actually get a free solar system and or a subscription into a solar system that's located somewhere else. No one has to come to your house. No one has to, get involved with your electricity meter and your system, your panel and whatnot. You don't have to deal with that. You receive the credits through PEPCO. It's roughly $500 per year off of your electricity bills.
So now, I understand. So, let me tell you.
Again, that is, if you're not doing solar now, you're really throwing money away. A lot of people spend on, you know, kitchen renovations and other aesthetic improvements, which are great, but solar actually will pay for itself in a much shorter time period, and it also helps in home resale. So
yes,
we, you know, kind of like to you know, tout those benefits as well. And there's lots of programs around the country that really help, but this region is booming with solar, and really, you know, appreciate again that you covering this topic.
Well, Emil, thank you so much for your information. I appreciate your phone call and your input to the conversation. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stan, calling from Beltsville. Thanks for calling, Stan. What's on your mind?
I've been looking at solar for a while. My neighbor has gotten solar, but they would only let him have so many panels. I know, just like they said, you can get grid credit. My roof is, I have a split level, and I have 3 seconds of roof to get full daylight.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure that I'll probably buy my panels, because from the research that I have, you'll get better. You're better off buying your panels in the long run than the rental.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But am I limited to getting what the companies offer me? Or do you have a company that I can call who's going to work with me and not just try to get me so that I'm stuck with them forever with a bill?
Kimberly?
Well, usually the way that it works is each solar installer has a different kind of panels that they offer. So you may have a basic panel, then they may have what they call upgrades. And one of the reasons that Solar United Neighbors, when we develop, when we do the co-ops, is that we put out RFPs and we ask for bids back from different installers. And we actually develop a spreadsheet. And we look at everything from the different kinds of panels to making sure they are licensed, bonded, and insured, as well as the warranties. And we also do referral checks as well. So each installer will offer a different product. It just depends on, you know, what, you know, installer that you choose, and what type of system that you'll also need as well. And usually what they'll do is they don't even have to come out to your house. They just use Google Maps, and they can look at your roof, and what they do is they can draft you like a system just off of looking at your roof from Google Maps.
Okay, do you have a list of installers?
Well, as a matter of fact, Kimberly, share your email address, and also, Stan, if you don't catch it now, after 9 o'clock, you can go to whur.com, and that email address will be on our website for this particular discussion, and you'll be able to hear the podcast in its entirety. But for those who are listening right now, what is your web address, Kimberly? What is your web address?
The web address is solarunitedneighbors.org/Maryland. And also, if people want to email me, they can email me at mdteams@solarunitedneighbors.org.
Yes, solarunitedneighbors.org. I've checked out the website. There is a lot of information on their stand. So I highly recommend, if you're interested, to peruse the website. So thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I do have a question. Emil brought up something that was interesting. Damali, are you familiar with the option that he was discussing regarding, even if you don't want solar panels on your house, that you may be participating in some kind of a program that may bring solar-related power to your home without the hardware and the cost?
I am. So it's what he was talking about is community sponsored. Now I just had a total brain fog.
Community shared solar.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
But it's used for it's actually across the country, and so actually I'm glad that he brought it up because I wasn't aware that it passed the DC legislation. But across the country, different states and different municipalities have basically allowed communities to come together to purchase their energy. And so if you remember last time we were talking about the energy markets and that in the area, you can actually purchase your generation supplier. So that could be from a local company, that could be from your neighbor who might be, you know, running a bike and want to power your home. But you're seeing a lot of even towns, you know, entire towns, entire counties, but neighborhoods coming together to say, particularly around clean energy, to say, you know, we are interested in clean energy, and using that buying power to come together to purchase in bulk. And so you can negotiate directly with an energy supply company. In some cases, depending on the size of the CSA, they're negotiating directly with the utility. I've seen that happen, particularly in California and Massachusetts. But I'm glad that it is available in D.C. And so when you have neighborhoods, I'm actually now looking at, I live in Brooklyn. And so we, if you know Brooklyn and D.C., we are a very close, tight-knit neighborhoods. So now my wheels are spinning to say, I need to check this out to see if my neighbors and I are interested now in kind of purchasing clean power for the neighborhood.
So let me ask you about this, Damali, because you remember when you were here last and you were talking about the situation in Texas after the snowstorm and the exorbitant rates that people were exposed to when the power grid went haywire. Is there a risk that when you are negotiating clean energy rates, that if something like that were to happen in D.C., that there would also be a spike in power, the cost of power?
There could be, but that's where, like Kimberly mentioned, a power purchase agreement. And so if you think of that, that's exactly the same as any other, you know, contract that says we are going to purchase this amount of energy for this price, for this time period. So it is, that helps mitigate that risk. You know, obviously, if it's a longer term when that agreement ends, you might have that risk. But that is fundamentally, you know, a way to avoid that. And again, to even out those costs, because part of also what happens is, you know, the energy costs spike up and down. And so people really want to look at, one of your callers talked about that budget billing. You know, utilities and us are really looking at ways to smooth that cost of energy over time. And so, again, that's one of the benefits of solar is that it allows you, you know, over the course of the year to really help smooth out that energy cost.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Angela, calling from Brentwood. Thanks for calling, Angela. What's on your mind?
Hello, Harold, and your guest.
Hi.
Quick question. Roof repair. You need something done to your roof. How does that work? Do you, is that two separate companies we're dealing with? Do you call back the solar company and have them removed and get your roof done? Is that two separate costs? Like, how does that work?
That's such a great question. Kimberly?
Yes. So one of the things that your installer will do is one of the first things they'll do is look at your roof to make sure your roof is not just in good shape, but also that your roof can handle the panels and the system size. So if they feel as though if you know that your roof needs to be replaced within the next 5 years, we always suggest that you go ahead and get your roof replaced before you put the panels on, because what you don't want to do is put the panels on the roof and then you have a leak or something happens and you have to take them back off. Because some installers will charge you a fee to come back out and take them off. And also, a lot of installers also have relationships with roofers that they can connect you with as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Kimberly, thank you so much for phone call. I mean, Angela, thank you so much for your phone call. Kevin said something that I did want to, you know, want to, you know, to address again, and it's about credits and how, I'm sorry, not the credits, but when you can use certain appliances and do certain things. He said, you want to do stuff during the day, you don't want to do it at night. Can you expand on that, Kimberly?
Yeah, so what he was mentioning or really talking about is that during the day, your system is producing a lot of energy, right? And so at night, you use less energy or you use more energy. He's saying reserve your energy and you use more at night also because your rate goes down at night as well. So you want to have as much energy, have your system produce as much energy during the day so that you can release that energy at night at a cheaper cost.
I'm not sure I understand. So right, let's say pre-COVID, when most people are not home during the day. If you have a family of four and the parents were working during the day, the kids are at school, everyone gets home after 6 o'clock and they are home from 6 p.m. until around 6 a.m. How do you operate during the day when nobody's home? How do you use more energy during the day when no one's home, when most people in this example are home at night?
Even though you may not be at home, if you still have the lamps or your TV is still plugged in, you're still using what they call a phantom load.
Right.
So a phantom load is just energy that's still being produced. And during the day, you have what they call peak hours. So your energy costs more during the day than it does at night.
Your electricity from the major power companies like a Pepco or a BGE.
Right. So
I just want to jump in here. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's true if you are on a time of use rate.
So on a time, on a what now?
On a what we call a time of use rate. So a time of use rate is a way for the utilities to manage their power consumption. So they will have what Kimberly talked about, a peak. So during the day, electricity costs more. So, you know, it might be from, like, let's say between noon and 6 p.m. And then between 6 p.m. and midnight, there's a lower rate. And then between midnight and 6 a.m., there's an even lower rate. And so that is if you are on what we call, again, it's time of use. So it's literally the time that you use the energy. There's a different rate structure for that. One of the reasons why a lot of people with electric vehicles will actually program their electric vehicles to charge only between midnight and 6 a.m.
So, but that is if you are receiving your power from one of the major carriers, a Pepco, a Dominion, a BGE, correct?
You will always, even if you have a solar system, you know, as Kimberly said in the beginning, you will still always be connected to the power grid through a BGE, through a Pepco, through a Dominion. And so you will still get, they will still maintain the lines for you. They will still maintain, you know, when Kimberly talked about the net metering, so being able to actually get the credits, they will actually still maintain that meter for you, and they will actually help you figure out what those credits are. So you will always be connected to that utility. And so, you know, if something should happen, let's say, you know, sadly a tree falls on your roof and you can't use your system, you will still be connected and still have electricity through BGE, through Pepco. And one of the things that's great, particularly in Maryland and in DC, is that those utilities are really working actively with solar customers. So, for example, all of those utilities have a program for first-year solar customers to help them understand their bill, help them understand, you know, why your bill may not immediately be lower, and kind of walking them through that. So in this case, they actually actively want to partner with solar customers and have that be a
symbiotic relationship.
So, Kimberly, you mentioned at the top of the program about a co-op and having, I believe, at least 20 of your neighbors. How do you convince 20 of your neighbors to do this all at once? It's hard for me to get my neighbors to leave my parking space in front of my house alone. So,
right. So what we do, Harold, is we do, I do informational sessions. We have several of them coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes into a lot more detail than what I can explain, you know, on this call. So
right.
We go through not just Solar United Neighbors, but we also talk about the structure. We talk about the technology. And from that way, you know, we have more people that get interested. For instance, we did a co-op in Montgomery County last year, and we did jurisdictions. So we did Tacoma Park, we did Gaithersburg, Beltsville. A lot of different jurisdictions come together. So when we talk about a co-op, they don't all have to be in the same neighborhood. They just have to be in Maryland somewhere.
Oh, because yeah. I was assuming that I needed the 20 neighbors on my street to do this in order to participate.
That would be wonderful, and we would love to see that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too. Well, I'd love to see that.
When we talk about a co-op, we mean bringing people together, and they do not have to be in the same community. However, we would like to see it, and it's like when you actually see the solar panels, that's something that's tangible, right? So people can actually see it. They may not always know how it works, because it is very complicated. So one of the things that we pride ourselves on is the education, to try and take all of that stuff and make it tangible for you, walking you through the process, making sure that you are getting the kind of services that you need. We follow up with the installers. We make sure everyone is licensed and bonded. So we kind of take the brain work out of it and just help you to facilitate through the process.
I do have another question, and this is a really basic question. What happens when it snows?
There's really little maintenance that you have to do to solar. I've had my system for about 3 years, and Harold, you know how the weather can be here. I've never had to go up on my roof and clean the panels off, nor would you ever see me going on my roof.
I would not advise that. So when it snows, it just stays up there until it melts?
Yes, it just melts off.
I have
a pitch roof, so my the snow, it just rolls off.
Right, but I guess my point is, we didn't have a tough winter this year. Next year we may. And so if you have snow on your solar panels for a week, What impact does that have on your electricity, the sunlight that is powering your solar panel system?
Right.
I'll jump in really quickly.
Just for reference, the testing that companies do when they do the testing with the government for solar panels is actually done outside of Denver. Just to give you a little bit, I've actually seen, it's actually super cool, the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, which is based outside of Denver, literally has fields of different kinds of solar panels where they measure, you know, the new solar panels, older solar panels, like as Kimberly said, the technology has changed. And for energy nerds like me, it's super cool because you can actually literally visually see that. But those are the considerations that they have taken into account, if you know Denver weather, when they're thinking about this installation for both utility scale as well as home use. And so it doesn't actually make that much of a difference, because believe it or not, there is a fair amount of sunlight in the winter. Obviously, it's a shorter time frame, so you'll get a little bit less, but you know that you'll still have some generation from these types of systems.
Okay.
Yeah. And usually the snow just either melts off. Like for instance, like I may have one patch that I may have snow on, but, you know, like Molly just stated, is the sun, it just melts off, and that's it.
Some final thoughts about this from you, Kimberly?
I would just encourage people to go to our website, solarunitedneighbors.org/Merlin, and I invite people to come to our informational sessions. We have them now until June, and you will get a wealth of information, as well as you can email mdteams@solarunitedneighbors.org.
Mm-hmm. And Damali, some final thoughts from you as well.
One thing I would say is that if you are unable to get solar, either you live in an apartment, you can still participate in the clean energy revolution through purchasing clean power from a third-party supplier. So don't discount, you know, this idea if you want to support that. You have other options as well to do that.
Kimberly Armstrong and Damali Harding, thank you both for talking to us. A lot to consider, a lot to learn. And as I said, the information will be on our website on WHUR.com after 9 o'clock tonight. And hopefully someone will get something out of it.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Thursday, April 15th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall.